Welcome to the Plant Grow REIT podcast.
Welcome to the Plant Grow REIT podcast. I'm James Stephen. I'm the director here at Aintree Group Wealth. And today we're going to talk about cash flow. Cash flow is crucial. It doesn't matter whether you're saving for a home, building your wealth, preparing to retirement, or being in retirement. It's all about managing your money properly. And we want to make it as simple as possible to understand, so we take the jargon out of this discussion and we just make it something that you can relate to and you can take home some useful ideas at the end of our podcast.
So James, what exactly is cash flow?
Well, cash flow is really, as it says, true to label. It's the movement of cash. It's the flow of cash into your household or your business and out. So it basically deals with money coming in and then money going out through expenditure. And well, why it's important is because cash flow is what you're going to use ultimately to fund your lifestyle. And your lifestyle is every day, all day, for the rest of your life. And in the society we live in, you need money. And you are going to spend money and you're going to earn money to be able to spend it. And it's important to be able to manage that cash flow, because if you don't, you can get yourself in all sorts of trouble, through increased debt, through not saving enough for the future, so not having any money. So what we're trying to do really with cash flow management, we're trying to direct that cash flow to the right places. We're trying to make sure that it's doing what you want it to do. Mm-hmm. Because if you don't control it, you're not going to get any benefit out of all that hard work you're doing. Because a lot of people work hard, you know, month in, month out, year in, year out, and they don't have anything to show for it. And it's because they're not managing their cash flow properly. And if you can't sort of measure something, you can't manage it.
Yep.
And that's really what it is. If we can measure it, we can manage it, so we can do what we want it to do, and that's build our wealth for us.
Yeah. What's the best way to start budgeting, do you think?
Best way to start budgeting is to start at ground zero, and is to work out where the money's coming from, mm-hmm. and where it's going.
Yep.
So where it's coming from is the easy one, because that is typically for most people their salary, plus some investments.
Sure.
But it's the money coming into the bank account typically. And then the hard bit is the expenditure. So the expenditure is where people get lost. And that's the money going out. So that could go out of your bank account through direct debits, or direct debit cards, or debit cards. And also it could come from another spot, which is very common, which is your credit card. So it's often two separate places. So we need to be able to pull all that together.
Mm-hmm.
So what I suggest people do is to work to all the places where the money comes in and the money goes out, go onto that website and go to the reporting area of it and pick the last 12 months. So pick a time frame that makes sense for you in terms of calendar year or financial, but typically the easiest one is the last 12 months, because that's really the most relevant expenditure you've had. So you can go in there and you can pick a 1 year range, and then it'll let you download all that information into a CSV file, which is a type of Excel file.
Sure.
And once it's in there, then you can manipulate the data. So what you can do is you can bring it all into one file, and then you can apply some filters to it, or you can sort it in the spreadsheet into different buckets.
Mm-hmm.
So now you're in a position where you can pull out all the income, so you know what your income is for the year. You can just total that up, that's my income. And then you can go to the expenditure, total all that up, that's all my expenditure from all the different sources. That's the high level budget. Well, not budget, but cash flow for the year.
Sure.
Then out of that you can see whether it's been a surplus, meaning you've more money stayed in,
sure.
than gone out. Treading water type scenario where you actually haven't spent everything you get. Or a deficit where more money's going out the door than coming in.
Yeah.
That's obviously the worst one. Then for the budgeting, what we want to do is we want to get all those expenses and we're going to break them down to three areas. One is your fixed costs. And your fixed costs are going to be things like rent or mortgage.
Mm-hmm.
The variable costs are going to be things that change a little bit each month. So that's going to be your groceries would be a good example of that, or entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
They will change every time. There's no consistent number there.
Mm-hmm.
And the final one will be a bit more ad hoc. So ad hoc expenditure. That could be an annual holiday. It could be an unexpected dental visit, car service, so things that are not easily identified in advance.
Mm-hmm.
And also some things that, you know, they happen from time to time. They're not regular. Like a car might be fine for year in, year out, but then all of a sudden you have a breaks down.
Yeah.
So that is definitely an unplanned type thing. Or gifts, another one. So once we've got that, we can break them down, and now we can see where all the money's going to which buckets. And of course, if we're doing our budgeting properly, what I like to do with our clients is once we're at that point, now we're trying to create a surplus, because that's how we build wealth. Because if we build a surplus, we can direct the surplus into buying assets or paying down debt or a combo. But we have to get to that part. So this is where we go through the expenditure and work out of that expenditure for the last 12 months, what exactly do we need and don't we need? And then we can create the budget. So now we're in a position to say, this is the income we're getting in. This is how much we want to save, because that's the surplus we have to generate to build wealth. And this is the expenditure that is left.
Mm-hmm.
That's the money left over, and that's all we can spend. And if we want to spend more, we probably need to increase our income. But at some point we need to say, draw a line in the sand and say, we are going to be saving some money. So that's what we're working with the clients to do, to get that surplus. And we want that surplus then to be directed automatically into certain buckets, which is like your super or your home loan repayments or investments. And now we've got a budget. So our budget now is a spending plan, not just the random sort of monthly expense.
Mm.
And our spending plan is going to direct the money to where we want it to go in a productive manner, where we're spending what we need to spend, but we're also building wealth. So that's how I'd go about it in a bit of a summary, but really with a client, we're going through it properly. We want to get the numbers so that we can plan properly, because if we don't have the raw material, it's very hard to come up with a good plan for the client.
When putting these budgets in place, how strict should a budget be?
Don't think about budgeting, the act of setting a budget, as something bad or restrictive. It's a spending plan. Mm-hmm. Because you've got a budget regardless.
Yep.
If you create one or you don't, you've still got a budget.
Yep.
Still, that's what's happening. So create a purposeful spending plan where you're in control of where the money goes, and you can then use the flow of money to your advantage and to be able to build wealth. And it's not that hard. It's just the process of sitting down and really just knowing where the money's going.
Yeah.
And once you can identify that and break it into the buckets of that fixed cost, the variable cost, and the unexpected, you can actually then go to work on that and work out, you know, what don't you need to spend the money on, and replace that with a sort of an automatic amount that goes to building those assets or reducing debt.
Yeah.
So let's just say there's 10-15% of your expenditure, you go, look, we don't really need to do that, or we can cut costs somewhere else. Because sometimes you just got costs that you're not even, because you haven't had a look at it, you don't realize how many things you're spending money on. And you go, well, we don't even use that.
Sure.
Those things you get rid of, and you can take that money, all that spare money, and then you can allocate that to your wealth building plan. So think about it like that. It's really positive, sort of proactive approach, because when you don't do anything, what inevitably will happen is you just drift along. And then, you know, the months, the years go by, and then you're not making any progress. So I would say it's well worth doing and getting to it, because it is the central part of building wealth.
What if your income is irregular, like people such as business owners and contractors?
Yeah, well, that does become a bit trickier, because it's not as easy then. So the best way to do it would be to look at what would be sort of the lowest cost that you're going to, lowest income you're going to get. So you can go, if you're looking, using the same approach, you're looking at your last 12 months earnings, and you work out which months are the lowest, and that would be what I'd put the budget on.
Mm-hmm.
Because just because you've had some really good months, they're not necessarily going to happen all the time, but the lowest one's probably more likely. And then if you can have a buffer, some money in the bank, so emergency funds, that will help smooth it out as well. So there'll be times when you have some good times, some good months, which are ahead of the budget. You can then take a little bit of that cash and put it into the bank account. But generally, use the lowest number, because then if you do better, well, it's going to help things because you're going to be saving more.
Yeah. And what about couples? Do you think that they should budget together or separately?
Couples, well, look, there are, I've seen different couples approaches over the years. Most people tend to do it together. It does help. It's a lot easier if they work together, because typically as a couple, they've got shared goals, shared plans for the future. So that's definitely something they need to be working towards. And if they work together, it's going to be easier. So the idea with couples, I think, is do the same budgeting exercise. And then as part of your budget, you want to have like our costs. So these are the costs that we're both going to have to pay, whether it be the mortgage or groceries, things like that. And then you'd also have a personal budget. So that would be for stuff that you want to spend on without having to justify it. Because most people, when they have that, the first thing they say is, well, I want to spend some money on things and I want to have to like account for it all the time. So we're not trying to make people sort of account for every expense they've got.
Yeah.
We say, okay, well, we'll put what's a fair amount of money to spend each month for each year? And then they'll come up with a number, and obviously it's got to fit in with the budget. So this is where you get back to sensible. So we've got to be sensible. And then we would have the budget set aside some money for each person, and they can then get that, can go into a separate bank account, their personal bank account, and then they can spend it how they want.
Mm-hmm.
And at least that gives people that sort of freedom, and they don't feel like the budget is constraining them.
Sure. For surplus and strategy, if you have money left over each month, what do you recommend doing with it?
Well, hopefully the idea is that, well, we had our stage one, which is where we put together that budget to see where we're actually at. So what's our last 12 months spending looking like? And we're trying to obviously create a surplus, because without a surplus, we can't really build any wealth. So if we do have a surplus, so we've created a scenario where our expenditure is lower than our income.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes you got to do a bit of work to do that. So we go back to the budget and we look at those costs. We may have stripped some costs out to get a surplus.
Yeah.
Or maybe we're just earning enough so that, and we're not big spenders, so we've got a natural surplus. So some people are like that. They don't actually have to work hard to generate a surplus.
Yeah.
They already have one because they just don't spend a lot and earn a lot.
Sure.
But that's not most people. That's just some people. Most people have to work a little bit harder to get a surplus.
Mm-hmm.
And for those sort of people, what we try to do when we do budgeting with them is to create a sort of a surplus first approach. So we look at the overall income and expenditure and we say, okay, well, our first spend is to ourselves. And that's where we take that money, put it away into an investment account, superannuation, cash, something like that first. So going back to your question about what if I do a surplus? Well, that's what we're trying to build up. We're trying to create it so that it goes to the right bucket. Now, with wealth building, the surplus, the ways to build wealth are going to be to buy assets, pay down debt. Because if you pay down debt, your net assets increase.
Yes.
So you're going to have more assets, or a combination. So it could be put extra money into super, pay down some home loan. So you're effectively reducing your debt and you're building your assets as well. So that would be that'd be sort of a common way they do it. But what we want to do, importantly, is to create it so it's an automatic contribution to super and home loan reduction, rather than just leaving it to the end of the month and going, okay, well, we're gonna, you know, our goal is to put in $1,000 a month into the mortgage, and then when you get to the end of the month, is that money might not be there that month.
Yeah.
Whereas if we do it automatically at the start, it just happens, and then we spend what's left.
And then you work around it, yeah.
Yeah, that's my preferred option. So yeah, if you've got a surplus, well, that's what we're gonna do. But we actually wanna create a sort of a forced surplus anyway. Because think about it like this, most people actually, that's how they build wealth. They buy a home, the bank makes them pay money back, and they end up with a home paid off.
Yeah.
Or they get paid their money from their employer, and 11.5% gets taken out and put in a super, and that's how they build their retirement savings. That all of that's automatic.
Yeah.
At no point are they going, well, you know, I might pop a bit into super this month. It's just happened because it's automatic, and that's what we want to do with people.
And what if you don't have a surplus?
So you're either going to be in two positions. You're either going to be treading water and just making ends meet, or you've got a deficit. Mm. If we're to look at both of those options, I would say that obviously treading water is the easiest because you're closer to a surplus. You're only only a little bit of expenditure reduced or a bit more income and you're into surplus. So going back to those people, that's where we're going to go through the budget for those specific people. Actually, both categories would be, but we'll be going through the budget with those people and we'll be looking at areas we could reduce or perhaps some income to increase as well. So it could be an increase at work or through the business. And then go back to what I said about setting aside a minimum savings each month, which goes into that wealth creation. And for those, and typically when we're starting off where there hasn't been a surplus and it's not easy for those people and they're just making ends meet, we won't try to be too ambitious. We'll start off with something very reasonable that they could do, just get into the habit of it and just see that it's possible. So once you realize, yes, I can save $1,000 a month and it doesn't really affect our lifestyle, then they'll be more ambitious next time. But let's just get them into the habit of building wealth and moving away from treading water. Now, the people who are in the deficit, well, that can be a problem. You know, it could be a deficit, a good deficit in this scenario, people who just spend a lot. And they never really looked at a budget, they have never really ever made any effort. Those people are the easiest ones to fix their budget because just with a little bit of help, they can make big changes. We can quickly move them across because they've probably got a lot in their budget or their expenditure at the moment that can easily be removed.
Yeah.
And it's just they don't have a goal. So they just don't have a goal. They got money coming in, they just spend it and they've ended up with a bit of a deficit. Now, the people with the other types of people, the people that probably got more of an income problem, where there's just not enough income, but they've got these costs that have to be paid.
Yeah.
That's a much harder one to deal with. So you can only cut so far because there is a minimum amount of spend people are going to need.
Yeah.
So for those people, it's really going to be a case of really focusing on their income and trying to build that up. But they also might be in a position where their debt over the years is built up as well. And they've got these really high expenditures from debt repayment, you know, credit card use. Some people have huge credit card bills and those credit card bills are payable at a really high rate of interest. It could be 20%. Even more, and you know, if you got let's just say a credit card debt of 20 grand, 20% is $4,000 a year.
Yeah.
So it adds up, and that's straight off the bottom line. So for some people, it's they're in a hole, and it's really hard to pick them out of it, and they may need to go to sort of more of a financial counseling type approach.
Mm-hmm.
Where they can do some arrangements with the credit providers to at least reduce that.
Yeah.
So it depends on their situation. It's hard to say how that deficit came about, but we'll obviously go through it and see if we can redeem the deficit problem. But if it's not possible because of the structural issues they face, then they're going to need to work more closely with their creditors to reduce that. So, thank you. But today, hopefully, people got some good understanding out of the cash flow management. I know it's a topic that seems hard, but it's not. And if you need any help at Aintree Group Wealth, we can take you through it and explain how we can help people out. So thanks for listening. Don't forget to subscribe and share this podcast episode so we can build our audience because, you know, there's a lot of valuable stuff we've got here that you can trust and rely on. And, you know, if you subscribe, you're going to get access to it all the time.